B-Pod Studios.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
.985 the Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Joe Murray in studio, and if you're a sports fan, yesterday was not just a good day. It was a great day. We got word that, hell yes, basketball is back. I almost said baseball, and that couldn't be any further from the truth. But
bite
basketball, I know, this is something I've been saying for a while now. Get the dates on the calendars, and basketball is the first one to truly make it happen. And it will probably more than likely be official around 12:30 this afternoon when the Board of Governors attends to approve their new 22-team format to restart the season on July 31st. Down there at the happiest place on earth, Walt Disney World. And on with us to help figure out all this proposals and everything, and the new structure of the season and how it affects the Celtics is, of course, the man with the best hair on television, Chris Forsberg. He covers the Celtics for the NBC Sports Boston, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Chris, when your hair is gelled straight up, how many inches are we talking?
I would say at least 8. I think I'm almost 7 feet when I have the 8-inch flat top going.
Wow!
I had to trim it. I caved to public pressure. Big Jim put up a picture, and people were ruthless on me. And I don't want to say that was the only reason, but I had to knock it down a little bit. It was costing me too much in product.
So when you don't have any kind of product in your hair, can you see? Like, I mean, is the hair, like, you're like a metal dude, right? It's covering your eyes.
It's super emo. I guess like the Fallout Boy bangs going when
I've seen it at the occasional Celtic home game where I'm working. I've seen the hair down. He's completely different. It's not the same guy.
If I like, not that I have any need to hide or not be recognized, but if I ever need to go incognito, I just jump in a swimming pool and my hair just doesn't look the same.
And you just disappear, like nobody can even see you anymore. You've gone incognito. All right, so this is great news, obviously. So from everything you saw yesterday, Chris, and the big proposal and how it's all going to be run, what stood out to you the most?
Well, I think it's probably the safest and the simplest approach. You know, you get the clearly the teams that were already in playoff position, they were a little, you know, probably didn't love the idea of pool play and eliminating some of the benefits of what they worked for during the regular season. And, you know, even the 1-16 seeding, as entertaining as it would have been, I think a lot of Eastern Conference teams were probably a little bit leery of, you know, being matched up against maybe some tougher matchups. I mean, you look at the Celtics and potentially having to draw the Sixers and then the Clippers, Fox and Lakers just on a potential title path, and that was pretty daunting. And so this is just simplifies things, right? It gives all the teams at the bottom a little chance here. You know, and selfishly for the NBA, you want Zion Williamson in the spotlight and having a chance to push for that. And for the Celtics, that's a good thing too, because maybe Memphis falls out of that final spot and back into the lottery and gives you a chance at a little better pick. But I just think this was the simplest route. I don't see the Celtics moving off that 3 seed in an 8-game season here. I think it's a little hard for them to push to catch Toronto or fall back behind Miami, but maybe that number 6 seed shifts around a little bit and changes the first round matchup from Philadelphia, which in my mind was a pretty daunting team because of the way they have size and the potential that they can play to. But, you know, look, it's still going to be daunting path no matter what, but, you know, at least we have some excitement here. The games will matter more than just maybe exhibition ramp-ups might have if it didn't affect the seedings.
Okay, so there's going to be some more discussions today, or we're going to get more details, rather, once this is all agreed to. But one thing that has been tossed around between owners and some of the players is a way of creating some sort of what they're calling home court advantage when there is none. Have you heard some of these proposals that they're throwing out there? Things like giving one player on the team an extra foul, like 7 fouls instead of 6, where the higher seeds get the ball at the beginning of the second, third, and fourth quarters. Even something as dumb as a team being allowed to transport their actual hardwood court to Disney to recreate the feel of a home court advantage.
Don't forget the hotel thing. That's
cool. Oh, yeah, that's right. The preferential hotel selection at Disney. You would think I was making that up, but these are things that are being reported. Dan Roach suggested a free fast passes to the higher seed to get on the ride. So, like, do you see any reason for giving a team an extra advantage the higher the seed they are, outside of just already being able to play lesser competition in the bracket?
So as much as we mock it, I actually kind of like the bring your own court thing, because I just think it's so preposterous that 30 teams could, or 22 teams could pack up their home court and like bring it to Disney World. Like, how much money does that cost to make that a reality? And yet I think about, you know, the idea of the Celtics need to go get the old parquet, the original parquet, where it had all the dead spots and like actually gave you an advantage, and maybe that would be a little bit of home court. No, I do think it's a little bit too unfathomable, but something as simple as that I don't love the idea of, you know, the possession thing, or, you know, all, because then every little thing that you do to tweak the format a little bit, just it gives it another reason to put an asterisk on it. I know it's going to have it anyway, just because of the circumstances and all that. But, you know, if I'm a team that loses a 7-game series by one possession, and I sit there and go, well, they got 3 extra times to take the ball out over the course, I just don't want people to have that built-in excuse. And, you know, I understand that top seeds are losing a little bit of an advantage not playing on their home court. But, look, it's equal for everybody. It's just the way it is. Like, maybe they can find something minor. You know, the first time LeBron gets 6 fouls and doesn't foul out because he has a 7th foul, I mean, it's just going to be outrageous. So, I'll be very interested. I don't mind a little bit of an advantage. I guess not the biggest thing in the world, but, you know, I don't know. Just play the games.
Chris, how do you think the Celtics are set up to deal with this?
You. LeBron never gets 6 fouls.
Right. That's the other part of it. LeBron never comes close to fouling out of any games, so it doesn't matter. But are the Celtics set up to handle this? Now that you know the timeline, I mean, Kemba Walker's knee was a problem. Gordon Hayward had a leg injury he was dealing with, and now with 3 months off, those injuries you would figure have cleared up, and you have a lot of young legs who may be out of practice, but still, you have young guys that have had time off to rest. You have older guys that have injuries that have had time to rest. It seems, even though the competition could theoretically be tough, the Celtics are set up to make a run here.
Yeah, and don't forget, Time Lord's had like 6 months of inactivity to get his hips and bumps and bruises right. Like, to me, as president of the Rob Williams fan club, there's still potential there for him to be an impact player if he's healthy and can do what he does. But, you know, the only question I have is, like, how does Kemba's knee respond to a quick ramp up? And I guess it's not quick. Like, if they're going to have some time here to build towards July 31st. But, you know, it's just, I think a lot of guys are going to feel good, and then you're going to get out there, and when it goes to playoff intensity, or even just regular game intensity, it's going to be interesting to see how their bodies respond. And so, does Kemba's knee hold up? Because as much as he hasn't been able to do anything, you know, it's not like he's been in the trainer's room every day. It's not like he's been able to be in there with trainers strengthening it. It's still like, you know, the lack of wear and tear will help, but I want to see how they respond to the ramp back up. And, you know, unfortunately, I think that's the one thing that's going to be that could potentially mar these playoffs. Is just, you know, coronavirus aside, if someone blows out an Achilles or tears an ACL, you know, it unfortunately it's going to be, regardless of how it happened, it's going to probably be blamed on, you know, being off for this long and then trying to kind of ramp that right back up. But certainly the Celtics, they've been able to rest their guys now. Like, I mean, Gordon should be feeling good. Kemba should be good. I wonder how the rookies will respond. You know, rookies play really well typically when they're on their home floor and struggle on the road. Like, how does a neutral site affect those guys? Does, you know, does Grant Williams become a better shooter because there's no fans yelling at him? Does he not feed up? I don't know. So, like, those are the big X factors that I need to see with this team. But only 8 times during the regular season did they ever have their top 7 guys healthy, and pretty much only once before Christmas, and even only a couple times before the season got suspended. So I'll be really interested to see how this team looks. We kept saying it, like, how good can they be? I wonder if this restart gives them a chance to finally kind of tap into that overall potential.
And Chris, I've been reading a couple things about how this format could benefit the Celtics as well. And one of the things I found interesting was, you know, the Celtics still are hoping that the Memphis Grizzlies fall into the lottery. That helps them out with their draft pick. And so I don't know how they're going to do or schedule these regular, quote-unquote, regular season games that they're going to do before everything starts. I don't know if it's going to be in the same order they were supposed to do, but you just take out the teams that don't make the 22-team format. But isn't there a chance that they might potentially be able to beat up on the Grizzlies twice? And that could definitely help out their standing with the draft pick, right?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to me because, you know, how do you mimic the strength of schedule that teams had remaining? And certainly, you know, yeah, you can play the games as they were scheduled, but, you know, you don't have those bottom eight anymore to kind of feast on. So teams that had a really light strength of schedule kind of get hurt by that. Regardless, everyone's playing eight games, so everyone's got a chance here to jockey, and it's going to come down to teams that are ready to go and that come out flying. You know, one of the things I've long said that, you know, the Celtics might have an advantage here is I feel like it's going to come down to focus, and Brad Stevens seems like a kind of coach who is going to have his team ready, kind of locked in and able to play through the circumstances. I think there's going to be teams out there that don't handle that well. And so we'll see. Can they be the most disciplined team? And certainly the Grizzlies pick is a curiosity. Like, you know, it's not in an ideal world, it falls into the lottery and then it somehow vaults into a top spot. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. But if it was currently slotted for, say, 17 and it moves to 14 or 13, you know, every little bit helps, especially as you go back and study old drafts and realize, like, you know, you were one pick away from this guy or that guy.
Hey, Chris, I hate to interrupt, but are you on a walk at a nature preserve? Are you out in a park somewhere? I hear, like, birds chirping in the background.
I don't understand this. Whether I'm outside my NBC Sports Boston studios or I'm in my backyard like I am now, this iPhone microphone picks up every single bird, every woodpecker, every, like... I want to tell you, I live in this, like, beautiful nature preserve, but no, this is like I'm in the suburbs in my backyard. And so
I have learned from spending way too much time at home that the thing that I have dubbed Laser Bird, which goes that is a cardinal. So if you hear that, just know that ooh, bird call is a cardinal. Okay. I can't wait to get back to the city. Like, this is killing me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Normally I'm in my basement, but it's just so nice out. I feel like I had to be outside.
No.
All right. I have one last nerdy question to ask you about this, because I'm not joking, Chris, when I said that, you know, when I saw this news yesterday, I got excited and I just pulled up the standings and stared at them and smiled. Like, I was just like, oh, here we go. And I was looking at that. But I did notice something fairly nerdy, but it's a real problem that I don't know how they're going to figure out. The Celtics have played 71 games. The Sixers have played 73. Like, there's standings that are, like, some teams have played more than others. How is that going to be equalized out? Is it going to be by just, like, straight up percentages? I mean, because, you know, that affects a lot, like, you know, game up and, you know, that affects the standings.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, like, that's the biggest lingering question I had. As much as I was excited about the news yesterday, I'm sitting here going, all right, well, like, what are they doing about the schedule? Like, from an analysis standpoint about how this is all going to play out, it's hard to say, you know, exactly how this is going to look and how the Celtics benefit until we know how the schedule works, how the tiebreakers work. Yeah, they're going to have to get a little creative about how that works. And I think it might just simply come down to the NBA throwing its hands up and saying, look, you know, we're going to play eight games, and if a team is one game ahead in the loss column, then they get that spot just because they played the games, and we can't control when this ended. Or I just don't know. I don't think I can see any other way that they can neutralize it short of making teams play more games to even it out. I just don't think that's feasible. So my guess is it's just going to sort of be a unique situation. And yet again, it adds a situation where if a team ends up, you know, because they played one extra game and they lost one extra game and they don't get a playoff spot because of it and they draw a tough matchup, they can sit there and complain. But I think ultimately teams are looking at this and saying, hey, we're playing basketball again. There's still going to be best of seven series in these playoffs. You're going to have every chance to prove yourself. You know, you can't maybe necessarily affect how it lined up when the playoffs rolled around. But if you're going to be a champion, you're going to go through tough teams, go out there and just prove it on the court.
All right, Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, great hair. Thanks for coming out with us, man. We appreciate it. This is awesome. We have real basketball to talk about now. This is
real basketball. I can't tell you how exciting it is to talk about this.
All right, see you, Chris.
Take care, guys.
You too. All right, I feel like a jerk because I didn't hear the last minute and a half of what Chris Forsberg was saying because the comments on Twitter are just – they're making me cry. I'm laughing so hard. Somebody said, John Wallach, hearing the songs of his people in the background. Ryan Johnson, of course John Wallach, distracted by bird sounds. Mike, leave it to John Wallach to pick out the bird calls going on during the interview. Hashtag
what
evil
can I tell
ears.
You? It's chirping in the background, you know?
J-Dub, Wallach calling out the sounds of a bird in the background is either a major flex or Wallach distracted by someone speaking his natural language.
I'll take flex for the win, Alex.
Just an assault on John Wallach this morning. I was too in basketball nerd land. I was one of the b-ball boys to not even pick up on that, but of course our listeners don't miss a beat. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back with more bird calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What's up? Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And I want to send a message to the idiot on camera that lit a fire in City Hall by throwing a box that was on fire through a window. We have you on camera, you idiot. We are going to find you and prosecute you to the full extent of the law.
That is the mayor of Buffalo, and once again, we saw that on Sunday night when people were breaking into Copley Mall, and there was the news camera right across the street just filming their faces and filming their license tags as people would pull up, and they're just sitting there going, "We got you." Like, I don't know why. Like, you're doing this right in front of a camera that we have. It looks like we got your face, and now we've got the plate number, and that's pretty much all we need. But yesterday was another peaceful protest. Yesterday was from all reports, seemed to be a very, very peaceful protest, and not only in downtown Boston and in front of the State House, but in several different places all throughout there. And, you know, there have been some, obviously, things that have happened outside of the protests that have turned violent, and we've seen that as well. But there was one moment that, I'm sorry, but this was pretty amazing. So there was a guy, and I don't even know where this was from, but it is obviously someone who is a fraternity guy. The reason is that he's looking out of his window, and from his own camera phone, he's filming down in the streets as the protests are going by. And meanwhile, you can see his reflection in the window. It's nighttime, and he's filming the people walking down the street. And he's got, I don't know, something like, you know, Slightly Stupid or some other douchey band, like, playing in the background. And he's got his thumb up, and he's, you know, like, doing a thumb up to the people walking by. And meanwhile, you can see on the table, him and his bros are playing, they've got the cups all set up, and they're doing, you know, ping pong. What is it? Beer pong. Mm-hmm. Together. It's this giant table. It's a total frat bro type place. And so this guy's filming these protesters outside, and here's what ends up happening.
Why are you... We're on your side! We're on your side! Holy shit!
So these frat bros got their thumbs up, and they're all drinking, and all of a sudden a brick comes through their window and knocks over their entire beer pong table. Dude, we're on your side, man. We support you. Why did you mess up our beer pong table? What the hell? And then this has been another like thing where you've got, you know, news reporters on the streets, and you know, how many times have you seen when they're in the middle of things, when, you know, the language gets, you know, people start yelling things with the F-bomb, and there's been tons of signs, obviously spray paint, that have had the F-bomb in the background, and some networks choose to just be like, hey man, this is what's happening, we're gonna let it's not, you didn't expect to see this, like if you're watching this and you're offended by the F-word, then whatever. But then there's some that do everything they can to try to make sure that this stuff doesn't air. And so you're getting a lot of moments that are uncensored on television, including this. This is a guy from Cincinnati who's being interviewed on the news. Now, this is a white gentleman. He's standing out in front of like a crowd of people, and he's like observing. And a news reporter comes up and says this.
I saw you making some gestures at the police. I was wondering what's going on. What's going on here today?
Well, the cops shot somebody down here a couple nights ago, and they're going to just walk away like it's no big deal. And people like these fine folks right here say, no, it's enough, 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 enough. Give us a reason, give us an excuse, and we want to hold somebody accountable.
Okay.
You can't just go around killing people. Can you?
No.
I can't. I know
no.
I can't. I mean, no. There's lots of people, sure, I'd like to put a stick in, but, you know.
How long is all this going to go on?
It's going to go on till it's over.
Till it's over. What's going to make this over? What are there? Are there specific demands that these people want, that you and these fellow people want?
I would like to have some and that would make it over for me. Some real good.
Well, have a great day. Thanks for your time.
It was great.
That would be the P word.
Yeah.
Really want.
That was great. It's an older guy. What do you figure? He's late 50s, early
60s?
Right.
Like you think this guy's about to make like a statement, and he goes, dude, I just want some P word. I'm just out here for that.
We have a little bit of breaking news here, Rich. We have a little bit of breaking news.
Yes.
Drew Brees has issued an apology on Instagram for his actions last night. And he posted a picture on Instagram of kind of like, you know, the flex when Arnold Schwarzenegger and who was it? It was Apollo Creed, like flex together in Predator. It has one white fist and one black fist, you know, flexing together, you know, in a kind of a handshake. And Breeze posted the following.
Real quick, to kind of just to recap for, I mean, some of the people might not have heard
this, but
Drew Breeze yesterday was doing an interview, and he was asked about what he thought this season would be like if somebody were to kneel during the national anthem, and Breeze said this.
Okay.
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. And that we are all part of the solution.
Okay. And he faced incredible backlash from the African-American community and some of his teammates, Malcolm Jenkins in particular, afterwards. So on Instagram today, he has a white fist and a black fist intertwined. That's the picture on his Instagram. And next to it, he posted the following. I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I have caused. In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful, and have misled people into believing that I am somehow the enemy. So he is.
He continues. He goes, this is the first step. Further from the truth, and yes. This is not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character. And he said, this is where I stand. I stand with the black community in the fight against systematic racial injustice and police brutality and support the creation of real policy change that will make a difference. I condemn the years of oppression that have taken place throughout the black communities and still exist today. I acknowledge that we as Americans, including myself, have not done enough to fight for that equality or to truly understand the struggles and plight of the black community. I recognize that I am part of the solution and can be a leader for the black community in this movement. I will never know what it's like to be a black man or raise black children in America, but I'll work every day to put myself in those shoes and fight for what is right. I have always been an ally, never an enemy. I'm sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and issue.
I recognize I should do less talking and more listening. And when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I am very sorry and ask your forgiveness.
There you go. So that is Drew Brees' statement that he put out there, and I mean that's something that. You knew it was going to be coming.
Well worded. Now, again, that's only a first step. I mean, you were talking about the New Orleans Saints having a Zoom team meeting. He needs to throw himself on his sword immediately at the beginning of that meeting, you know, apologize as much as he can, reach out to his teammates, and then, most importantly, at the end of July, when training camp starts, he needs to keep going because it's not going to disappear overnight.
Well, I mean,
it's not going to disappear in the next couple of months. It's going to hang over the team.
Well, if you really want things to change, then you have to, when someone like something like this happens and says they want to change, you have to allow them to, and you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. Because I mean, he has not shown ever, it doesn't seem like, any kind of racist bone in his body. It just seems like someone who didn't listen and didn't know. Matter of fact, we got a tweet and says, "Thank goodness for actually playing the Brees clip. What in the world was wrong with what he said? We have gone insane." What the problem was is that it was never about the flag and it was never about the anthem. And Colin Kaepernick has said that. He asked an Army vet, "What is a respectful way that I can protest? If I can peacefully protest and let the world know about my feelings about police brutality and towards black people." And the Army vet said, here's the respectful way to do it. And he has said over and over again, this has never been about the flag. This has never been about the anthem. Yet there are people who still just don't listen and aren't listening and realize that that has nothing to do with it. That's why. And what Drew Brees said, you know, if you take away that old part of it, absolutely. He's been extremely pro-military. And I think that's something that obviously this is, you know, you don't take that away from it. Because Colin Kaepernick has always said that it wasn't about that for him. And that is something that I don't understand how after all these years, people still don't realize that that is why he did it. And it's been information that's been out there. And as I said, it was a military vet who taught him the way to do this and the way to do it with respect. So there you go. And now Drew Brees has made that statement. And, you know, and here's the part that I hate, and I hope it doesn't happen. It's like, well, did he really mean it? Because that, you know what? People can screw up, and the only way you're going to be able to change is to take people who had an attitude like Drew Brees had, who just were unaware. As I said, I don't believe he's racist. I just think he's unaware, and allow them to change. And you know what? Maybe there are people who were like him who didn't realize that that's what it was all about. And maybe Drew Brees speaking this morning changes their minds as well. Allow that to happen. That's the only way you're going to get real change. So, there you go. Drew Brees, way to go. All right, 617-779. It still doesn't mean that you're right. There's not going to be a play or two where someone steps out of the way and lets him get his ribs cracked every once in a while. But, you know, maybe in game one or a preseason game, that might end up happening. But then I think that hopefully everything will be ironed over between all those guys. And I hope he's sincere. And you know what? He's given us no reason to not believe he's sincere in that apology. Because up to this point, he has been somebody who, you know, is very admirable in his actions. He gave $5 million of his own money to the coronavirus help. He's been someone who's no one I've ever heard, never heard of a history of him saying anything racist ever. So there you go. So 617-779-0985. We got Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. And as I was looking at my social media yesterday in the middle of obviously a bunch of news that had been breaking and things going on and the Drew Brees stuff, I found that there was a tweet that came out from one Joe Murray. Joe Murray, who, of course, is the star of his own podcast called...
And even Joe Murray sitting there.
Just sitting there with Joe Murray. And I was reading that he was promoting something, and it said that he was doing something that was called a masterclass. It was a podcast. It says, if you have wanted to start a podcast and don't know where to start, join me on Tuesday the 16th at 6:30 as we host a masterclass via Zoom. Space limited. Register now. And I was like, okay, well, that sounds like, you know, Joe Murray has got it. But the one detail that I also saw, that it's not just him doing the masterclass, it would also be Sarge.
Uh-huh. Oh, baby.
Somehow Sarge got into this, and I'm not sure
but
if...
it's still all good.
It's all good.
And so when I mentioned this to Joe earlier in the show, I said, Joe, I just want you to take some time and think about this. And as I said, I think it's worth it just because Joe's doing it. Joe does a very good job on his podcast, and I think he's someone you should learn from. I've watched many of his a portion of many of his recent ones that he's been doing. However, what qualification does Sarge have to be teaching a masterclass on doing a podcast? Joe Murray, could you please explain this to me?
Yes. Okay, so I was a member of the CSB School of Broadcasting, just like our very own Mike Lockhart here.
I thought you were going to say the Calhoun crew.
But I believe they're no longer going to be having classes anymore. So Mike Sarge Riley was an instructor at CSB. And I said, hey.
Did you attend a class taught by him?
No, I have not. But Mike, just to give uh-huh. you just to give you Mike's resume, he has done traffic, weather, sports.
Podcasts.
All throughout
the year. I don't care about any of that stuff. I know that he's done bingo callings at old folks' homes. I know that he has been, you know, podcast. He's doing a podcast masterclass. What is his qualifications of a masterclass?
He is a host on a highly rated podcast called Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Okay.
That's... I thought that was Jimmy Stewart's deal with Mike Riley.
James Stewart and Mike Riley.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's my mistake.
Yes, they both are the hosts of their podcast.
Okay. Okay.
Fair enough.
And that's what makes him a master.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that he does a podcast. I do two podcasts, and I wanted to do something to try to give back a little bit, but also take advantage right now during the times where people can't go out. We're spending a lot of time at home.
Hang on, Joe. I love you. You're charging for this.
Yes, I have to. I mean,
you could say, you don't have to say to give back. I mean, you're charging. Yeah, you could say, hey, listen, I think that people could benefit from this. Yes. But don't spin it as if you're doing like some great community service.
It's not a charitable endeavor.
Right. You're getting paid.
It's definitely not a charitable endeavor. I've put a lot of time into this. I have already.
But I agree with Rich. The phrase giving back kind of doesn't fit.
Okay, fine.
It really doesn't. You're not giving to anybody.
Jeez, do I need to write an Instagram post and apologize for that comment now? Like, jeez.
mean, at some point, we just call it what it is. Yeah. Listen, I want to make
How
some cash.
How much are you charging? How much are we charging
you'll
for the master class?
You'll have to find out on the...
I think it's worth it.
It's $35.
Okay, that's fine.
It's
$35.
Like 60 or 90 minutes. Okay. And again, the reason why... Sarge is my friend, first off. I think he is talented, and he's going to help during the course. So I'll take one side of it. He'll take another side. We'll take questions. And like I said, we're going to teach you how to do a podcast and do it easy. This we literally can have you start. Like I just asked Wallach off the air, "Hey, what program do you use?" Well, I got nothing. Well, I can give you that answer. I can help you with all that and get you going. So
is there two things? Number one, will you be taking questions?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, is there a sellout number?
Right now, we actually have. Less than 10 people have already signed up, but we want to do about 20 to 25 per class.
Okay, that will be sold out by the end of the day today.
Easily.
I have a feeling I have a feeling that it will be sold out by the end of the day.
I hope so.
Have you seen the names of any of the people who have
I have, yes. They're all real people, and they've paid, so yes.
Oh, yeah, is John from Vegas?
Is he anyone
one
from Las Vegas?
Hey, listen.
John from Vegas?
John from Vegas, if his money is green, I will take it, and that's fine. You know, like, that's fine with me.
How are you splitting the revenue? Is it a 50-50?
50-50.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, have you checked to see if all the spots that are bought aren't going to the same credit card?
I have not done that, no.
Okay, just wanted to... Just wanted to check. Because that would be really weird if one guy bought all the spots.
Yeah. Hey. I mean, listen, if there's 25 names on there and only one person in the room, that's fine. We have a full class, just like the Red Sox. We're a sellout every night. You know, we could announce that. But no, in serious, we'll tell your equipment, audio editing software, streaming, and how to brand your podcast and how to get it on social media and how to get it on streaming sites.
All right. And how can John from Vegas, I mean, how can people sign up?
Well, go on Twitter. We have a registered link there. So you can follow me on Twitter at Joey Murr or at Sarge985. You can sign up.
Okay. Well, that should be, I mean, listen, I might try to sign up before it gets full. I would like to actually witness this because I it's obviously going to be informative, and there's a potential that it could be highly, highly entertaining, especially the question and answer
part. If not, you can spend $35 to hang out with me and Sarge.
That's right. Hey, why not? You know, we could do it that way. All right. Well, the podcast masterclass, you can find out with, of course, Sarge there.
All right. I do have a beef to pick with you, and it ain't a beef teriyaki from the Kowloon.
And you guys are obviously excited because the Kowloon just got themselves the permit to open up the outdoor car hop situation, right?
That is correct. So I believe not next week, but the following week and then weekend, there'll be outside dining and I believe the movie, the outside
sweet
drive-through movie. So that should be great.
Grease, and a play in which you performed in, right?
I once sang Beauty School Dropout in the 8th grade play, yes.
Okay, so hang on. Yeah, that wasn't a woman who sang Beauty School Dropout.
That was Frankie Valli.
Frankie Valli. And you sang that too. Rizzo, not Rizzo.
Frenchie.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
She wanted to quit school and go to beauty school.
She had the pink hair during the movie. Yeah. I remember this. Yes. Right.
Now, if they asked you to go up and sing and do like a sing along, like a Rocky Horror type situation where the crowd gets into, would you do
I'm
that?
I'm looking for work and I'll do anything for dough.
Right? Listen, you can't knock Joe Murray's hustle. There's no question there. All right. When we get back, I'll retweet it, Sarge. Sarge said, thanks for talking about the class, Rich. Sign up now. Joe Murray and I have a class ready to go, so I'm retweeting that right now. Thank you. Congratulations. So when we get back, I was watching the Rob Gronkowski show once again last night, and the Game On one that they've got, and I have a few observations on that. Dan, if you wouldn't mind resending that thing that you were sending me, because I have not received it. So, I watched the Rob Gronkowski. I might be the only person. While we're actually in commercial break, John, can you look at the ratings for the new Game On Rob Gronkowski TV show?
I will search the second we go to break, yes.
Okay, because I have a weird feeling, because I don't see anybody writing about it or anything like that, like any kind of, you know, even like listeners of the show who like Rob Gronkowski. I might be the only person actually watching that show. And if that is the case, then so be it, because I'm being entertained. And we will get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five, the Sports Hub is Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray here in studio. And John, have you checked?
I got it here in front of me.
How is the new Rob Gronkowski show? So this is like a thing that was created by James Corden. It's like a total summer replacement show fair. It's got Venus Williams and Rob Gronkowski on teams going against each other. They put a comedian with each of them, and
Fluffy, Michael, right? Fluffy was with Gronk. Is that
he
right?
He was one of the guest stars. Yeah. So that's kind of level you're getting with Gabriel Iglesias as your big guest star. I think Mark McGrath was last week as well.
He was one of the kickers. Yeah.
Yep. Macy Gray, Coolio. So I mean, they busted out the big names
right.
For week one. And yesterday was a different story. And I'm wondering because I'm watching the show, and we'll get into it in just a moment. But I'm wondering if anybody else is. How's the show doing?
This is from the Hollywood Reporter. So this is a pretty good source. Apparently, Game On had 4.53 million viewers, and the demographic number tied Fox's ultimate tag for the lead on the networks in its time slot. Now the ratings is a 0.6, but it's 4.53 million viewers, which is about double what I thought it was going to get, or triple what I thought it was going to get.
So hang on that night, it tied for number one. A show called Ultimate Tag.
Yes.
That's the one that J.J. Watt is the host of.
Yeah.
I swear to God, if aliens came down to like invade our country and turn on the TV and saw that those are the two number one shows, they would think that we were all hitting the head with hammers.
Like, I think Ultimate it was number Tag. Two. They tied for number two. I think ABC's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ruled the networks that night.
Oh, okay. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was number one.
Yes,
okay.
I believe so. And this is adults 18 to 49.
All right. I mean, this is, I've said it before. This is like that show on Idiocracy, Ow My Balls, where people just get like hitting the balls. It's like, wah! But we'll get into all of that in a minute. On top of that, Joe, there is Rob Gronkowski not making a lot of friends, apparently within the WWE as well. I don't know if you've heard this, but there was a story that, when I'm talking to the king of the WWE here, if you've not heard this, I guess that people are kind of pissed who work for the WWE about Rob Gronkowski and this whole foray into it and then him leaving. Is that true? Are people pissed?
Well, just in general, people don't want the guy to come in here and get all that time because other people get buried, right? He's getting the time. They get buried. He comes in. He wasn't successful. And, I've mentioned this a couple of times here, but Gronk has tried so many things, right? Like, he just mentioned the ratings about, some touch tag game or whatever the other night. But everything he's done has been a failure. Like, everyone talked about what he could do after his career, movies or whatever. He sucked at everything he's done. He sucked at wrestling.
That's not true.
No, mean to tell me Rob Gronkowski would be better at football or what he's done post-football?
This was a harmonic convergence of a lot of things. A, his buddy Brady finally left the Patriots, and B, he's been given 3, 4, 5 chances to do different things, and he hasn't produced a lot of heat.
How has he failed?
He's failed. I mean, this WWE thing didn't work out. I'm sorry. He didn't get over with
left.
The crowd.
Like, he went back to football. They didn't fail.
They handed him a title for 57 days.
All right. Well, they gave him a lot of money, and he was in the WWE, and he left on his own terms.
You think he was good on, he smashed Steve Harvey's head. Like, yeah, that was funny. That was cool. But, sucked.
Yeah.
Like, on New Year's Eve. Like, the Fox sideline thing that he did before games wasn't really that good.
And once again, he left them. They want him back. Like, they released a statement saying that when he's done playing,
you think
they
it was successful? You do?
It is if they want him back. Hell yeah. I'm not saying he was great at it. I'm saying it's a success if he's getting a paycheck and they want to keep him around and they're not firing him. So yes, that was Fox, him being a commentator was a success. Yes. Him being in the WWE was a success. They didn't fire him.
I don't agree.
I have an expert here to my left. I'm thinking that I'm going to ride him over you on this one.
But you might be, but there might have been a chance that he ended up getting fired from the WWE, and that is a story I have here. Because right after Joe Murray's headlines, this is fantastic, because apparently behind the scenes, people hated Rob Gronkowski. So I need to have this confirmed with Joe Murray, our local wrestling expert, and then we'll get into that TV show that he's, you know, where he just gets kicked in the balls a bunch. Right, no commercials, right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.